You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It is the Palpably Unfair podcast, episode 34, brought to you by the SB Nation NFL Show. Subscribe, rate, and review, of course, on your favorite podcast app. I am your host, Michael Kist. I will be filling in for Kyle Posey and Kate Majuk today. And the way this worked out with the football gods is just pennies from heaven, because our special guest today is a real expert in the world of the Green Bay Packers. And if you've noticed, there's been a lot of Aaron Rodgers chatter that started around the draft, has accelerated just about each and every day, including today. That guest is my good friend Justice Mosqueda. You can follow him on Twitter at JUMOSQ. Justice, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, other than the whole Green Bay Packers thing. Outside of that, man, just ideal life right now.
Yeah, and we're going to dig into it. But first, I kind of want to introduce you to the gentle listeners and let them know who exactly you are and why you're speaking about this. Go through your background and what kind of brought you to this point.
Yeah, worked for Bleacher Report, you know, off and on since probably 2014-ish. Recently worked with the XFL in their personnel department. Just finished Bleacher Report, their scouting department. You know, I graded 90 front seven guys for this past draft class. You know, previously had done gambling stuff for them, covered the Packers as a featured columnist, you know, just worn a bunch of hats for Bleacher Report.
Yeah, Justice does it all, and we're glad to have him here to kind of break down what's going on with the Green Bay Packers right now. And Justice, what I want to do is I want to go way back to the beginning of this saga with Rodgers and the Packers, and we'll get to the most recent reporting concerning the current power struggle and all that later on, because that's what's unfolding before our eyes right now. But to lay the groundwork for everything happening today, we do have to start from the start. And many people probably don't remember this, but it actually starts on April 23rd, 2005, because on that day, which was the first round of the 2005 NFL draft, Aaron Rodgers, of course, suffered a 4.5 hour wait before finally, mercifully, being selected 24th overall by the Packers, which everybody remembers that. But a key factor in that were the San Francisco 49ers, who owned the first overall selection, and they took Alex Smith. Again, everybody knows this, but what I forgot, and perhaps Packers fans right now are saying, how could you forget, because it turned out to be such a crucial thing. But what I forgot, and what I think many people have forgotten, was that Mike McCarthy, the future Packers head coach, was the offensive coordinator for the 49ers at that time. In fact, at the time, McCarthy verbalized, according to former Packer Ryan Grant, that Alex Smith was the better quarterback of the two. 1 year later, McCarthy would start his decade-plus run as head coach of the Packers, and I wanted to start with that because if people really don't believe that Aaron Rodgers is petty enough to take his ball and go home today, they might be missing the type of pettiness that Rodgers is capable of, because it almost feels like, as the trickle of stories come in after that about the Rodgers-McCarthy dynamic, that they got off on the wrong foot and really never recovered. So Justice, what I'm trying to say is that this thing goes back a long, long way, over 15 years ago, and there has been always been tension there. It has truly never gone away. Would you agree with that statement?
100%. He's really motivated by hate. I mean, going back to his college days, right, where he's like, you know, no one gave me an offer, this and that. You know, Illinois gave him a walk-on opportunity, right? His first start at Cal, he beats the crap out of Illinois, right? Just stuff like that, where it's like everything in this guy's career comes back around to, all right, and then I got revenge, right? So I'm 100% with you. And I think the other thing too, when we're talking about the draft and people not remembering, you know, what it was like in 2005, I think another thing that needs context is we were in a different collective bargaining agreement, to the point where if you signed a rookie quarterback, number one overall, you have to have conversations with that person to negotiate that person's contract. Right. And that was one of the reasons why Rodgers kept falling down the draft. If, you know, Rodgers would have been a prospect in 2011, I don't think he drops down to, you know, pick 24, pick 25, whatever it was. And that's a totally different conversation than a guy like Jordan Love. No one was having conversations the week of the draft saying, hey, Jordan Love, you know, maybe you should go first overall, but there's a contract dispute and he might end up falling down the board. That's right. Not the same conversation that we're having, but people are making one-to-one comparisons right now. Like Murphy and Gutekunst are like going through this like fake destiny path. You know, Ted Thompson did this, right? Ted Thompson did this. So now we have to go through this. Well, Jordan Love isn't Aaron Rodgers. These situations are nothing close to the same. So why did this need to go through like that? I don't understand.
So that's fantastic context, actually. And going through that relationship. So there was an article from 2019 by Tyler Dunn. It's heavily sourced by those that experienced this relationship with Rodgers, McCarthy, and ownership close up. And I found this section interesting. Quote, but even in the best of times when confetti should have still been stuck to their clothing, one person who was then close to Rodgers remembers he would regularly call to vent that McCarthy didn't have a clue what he was doing. He'd tell him that McCarthy frequently called the wrong play, that he used the wrong personnel, that they were running plays that worked 1 out of 50 times in practice, that McCarthy was a buffoon he was constantly bailing out, end quote. And so they win the chip together. But when the winning stops, right, and you're Rodgers and you look in the trophy case or on your hand, and what you see is about 4 to 5 missing trophies, about 4 to 5 missing rings in your head, just having that one ring together with him does not stop Rodgers from thinking that this guy, McCarthy, is an idiot. This guy, this idiot, is holding me back. And then you add in Ted Thompson, right, who you mentioned before, general manager from 2005 to 2017. And just as towards the end of his tenure, there are reports that he's basically checked out. He's falling asleep in meetings. And you really wonder, like, how did this whole thing last that long? So I'll ask Justice, just how bad did it get during the McCarthy, Thompson, Rodgers, triumvirate era? And in that answer, if you can tell me how it lasted that long, I would absolutely love to know.
Yeah, I mean, I think Rodgers believes his career was mismanaged. Point blank, period, you know? And I think he had an opportunity. I think he thought he wanted to ride out like Elway. And Elway is the only person who's ever rode out like Elway, which is the toughest thing, right? Or, you know, you go out on your own terms, you go out on top. No one else has that opportunity, even Tom Brady, right? Tom Brady has to leave to go to Tampa for it. But I think, you know, the levels that he believes that he's been mismanaged can kind of be explained by, like, the teams that he's looking at right now, right? So we're talking about Denver, San Francisco, and Las Vegas, right? People are talking about, you know, Gutekunst, you know, he's doing such a good job, you can't get rid of him, you know, in a dispute between him and Aaron Rodgers. Denver just hired the general manager last year. This guy has not been a general manager for a game, a NFL game. Do you know what John Lynch was doing before he became the general manager of the 49ers? He was on television. Do you know what Mike Mayock did before he was the general manager of the Oakland Raiders or the Las Vegas Raiders? He was on television. How little they think of this front office. He believes he's being mismanaged. He believes his career was mismanaged. Point blank, period. That's kind of where they're at right now. You know, I just saw the comparison where, you know, they were saying, you know, Aaron Rodgers in group texts, they were watching the Michael Jordan documentary and they're comparing him to Krause. I'm like, Krause won rings. Doesn't Krause have 6 rings? Gutekunst doesn't have 1. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Kind of unfair to Krause.
I want to get to that report by Bob McGinn of The Athletic. But let's kind of, we'll go back because there's like so many different events that happen throughout this relationship that are so big and have brought us to this point and to why it's such at a boiling point now. Because that relationship, McCarthy, right? All ends in 2018, just hours after the Packers dropped to 4-7-1 in a close call, but still embarrassing loss to the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, the Packers were double-digit favorites in that game, by the way. Just hours later, Mike McCarthy is officially out, fired, bring your playbook, all that stuff. To replace him, they hire Matt LaFleur. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. There's tremendous success there, right? They advance, but they lose in back-to-back NFC Championship games, which for a lot of franchises, that would be a huge success. And you might think, okay, this is the fresh start that they needed with Rodgers. He seems to really like it and get along with LaFleur. At least that's my outsider viewpoint. But in the middle of all that, they select Utah State quarterback Jordan Love, 26 overall in the 2020 NFL draft. I'm assuming this is some of what goes into what was reported today with Aaron Rodgers calling Gutekunst, you know, Jerry Krause in a group chat with his teammates. By the way, whoever leaked that and just broke the sacred bond of the group chat, come on.
Yeah, man. Not cool, man. Not cool.
not cool at all. But it's great content. And again, this is Bob McGinn of The Athletic reporting that. It's been confirmed by others like Tyler Dunn. And look, if you don't know who Jerry Krause is, if you were living under a rock during the initial lockdown phase of COVID, it's the Bulls GM, Michael Jordan. Absolutely loved him. Anyway, Justice, in your professional opinion, was that Jordan Love thing, was that devastating to the Rodgers-Packers relationship that they were just starting to maybe get right? Or was it just another drop in a very large bucket with a splash now of Jake Kumerow?
No, I think it's a lot bigger deal than Jake Kumerow. I mean, we're talking about Jake Kumerow. All right, maybe he makes the roster instead of Equanimeous St. Brown or something. I think when we're talking about Jordan Love, we're talking about a first-round pick that got stripped from being able to contribute to Rodgers' career. And that's the way he sees it, right? Where it's, we could have pushed for a title run, right? Mm. We could have pushed for a title run, and you're thinking about the future, right? We're, you know, Tampa's general manager, Light. I forget how you say his name.
Jason, like, I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce it, but Jason Licht, whatever it is.
Right, but you're allowed to miss as long as you still push when it's title time. Right. This is a guy who traded up in the second round for a kicker who flunked out. But you know what? He has a ring on his finger because of the guys that, you know, he brought in Tom Brady. He brought in people who wanted to play with Tom Brady. They're trying to push for a title. You know, this year they basically brought back the Super Bowl team, right? That's kind of the mentality. As long as you have that mentality, it's fine, right? But I think the way Rodgers saw it, which is perfectly, I think it's perfectly fair, is that, you know, you're trying to prepare for after me. I'm trying to win right now. I'm trying to win right now. And this is a place that's supposed to be calling themselves Title Town, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, at some point, you know, playoff town, you know, wild card round town, at some point you got to make a decision. Like, do you actually want to push for titles? Because at this point, Jordan Love is not where Aaron Rodgers was at when they made the switch from Favre either.
Right.
You know, Aaron Rodgers had years in the system. He had played that Dallas game, you know, on prime time where he was going toe-to-toe with the playoff team. And Jordan Love right now, he hasn't been active for an NFL game because he was behind Tim Boyle. Yeah. Right? So it's a very different situation, which is why I think, you know, everyone's trying to make one-to-one comparisons again, right, with, you know, how the Rodgers-Favre situation happened. And there's just so many things that are different than what it was like then, even down to what Favre was like at the end of his Packers career. I mean, right. Everyone knows, you know, three MVPs, you know, in the 90s, he was great. But, you know, that back end of his career in Green Bay, he had a lot of great defenses, and he was throwing a lot of interceptions, and he was actually hurting the team. Rodgers is coming off of an MVP, and this team's been back-to-back NFC championship games. That's different.
So also with that McGinn report is that the friend of Rodgers also tells him that there's about a 2% chance Rodgers plays for the Packers again, and we've heard various iterations of that from other people throughout this process as well. Is this, and this is a dumb question, but is this heat-of-the-moment stuff, Justice, or are we almost assuredly seeing Rodgers play for another team or just slap retire? Because everything that we've outlined here, everything that I know from reading about Rodgers, I'm sure you see the same on your side. The heat of the moment for him lasts an eternity, right?
Right. This guy holds grudges. Again, this guy holds grudges. We haven't even talked about, like, he doesn't really talk to his family anymore. Like, right. These are things that happen in his life. The one thing that I will say, so when we're talking about him going to another team, the Packers play hardball, right? When Casey Hayward hits free agency, he doesn't get an offer from the Packers. When Micah Hyde hits free agency, he doesn't get an offer from the Packers, right? Like, we see this happen over and over again where they play hardball, and, you know, it comes down to those early extensions too where, hey, we're giving you an early extension offer. If you take it, you take it. If not, we're not even going to help you drive the price up when you go in free agency because you're not going to re-sign with us, right? I think they'd force Aaron Rodgers to retire. I think they would. I think that's the situation we're going to. And they're going to say, hey, all right, actually retire, come play for us. I think that's kind of what, you know, what we're leading up to.
And they have full power to be able to do that, right, with the contract that they have with them. What are the, like, financial implications of that? What does that look like for Rodgers?
He'd have to pay back couple $1 million in signing bonus just because it's prorated over the rest of his contract. I think the one thing, so okay, if we go next level, right? Let's assume Rodgers retires this year. The way that it would become a mess for the Packers in a way that Rodgers would be able to get revenge would be him retiring this year, having them go through the entire 2022 offseason, packing up their salary cap, right? And then he shows up and he goes, hey, I'm back. I'm unretired. And now you have to account for like $25 million on the cap, right? All right. You're either going to strip down your roster or you're going to trade me in 2022. And it's going to actually hurt you to be able to do that too. Because it'd be no different than, you know, the June 1st situation that we have right now.
That sounds like something he would absolutely try to pull off just to really put the screws to him. Like, you think you got me trapped? Okay, cool. I'm going to come back a year later.
Right. I'm going to derail the franchise. Congratulations. Jordan Love will never win a playoff game.
Yeah. That is, that's absolutely. Where do you side on it? I think I know where you side on this, but where do you side on the Rodgers versus McCarthy thing, the Rodgers versus Gutekunst thing? Is it all with Rodgers? Do you believe that, like, he really hasn't done much wrong in these scenarios, and the team and the organization has let him down? Or do you think there's some blame there with Rodgers with the way he is personality wise?
No, I'm with him. I'm with him 100%. I watched those games. I don't know where you guys were for some of those playoff losses, but yeah, I'm pretty much on the, yeah, hey, Aaron Rodgers is like one of the, you know, at the very least, three best quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life. And right. He only has one ring. Kind of seems like he's been mismanaged. A lot of guys have won rings that, you know, are not as good as him. And Eli Manning is not as good as him, and he won too. So, you know, I saw a crippled Peyton Manning limp to a second ring, and we can't get Rodgers a second one. I don't know what's happening here.
It's bizarre because at any point in his career, you could pick a time span. He's probably, you know, a top three quarterback, arguably the best quarterback in the league at one point or another in his career. I 100% agree with you that the organization has definitely failed him. And it seems like the players, not just you, but the players are on his side too. We're seeing like retweets from Devontae Adams and all this stuff pop off today. Are we about to see a full-blown players mutiny in Green Bay? What's your take on that?
Oh, man. If Aaron Rodgers retires, what do you think Za'Darius Smith, David Bakhtiari, Devontae Adams, they're not trying to hear, you know, hey, stick through the rebuild with Jordan Love. So
they're for Rodgers to win with Rodgers, right?
Yes. Yes. That's one of the weirdest things to me where I'm like, do people ever talk to other people? Like, like, do you understand how these type of things work? Like, when mindsets change and, like, when timelines change, like, in real life, and they rub up against issues and things are put into conflict. Like, that's why I always joked about the Alex Trebek thing, where I'm like, hey, if Alex Trebek, NBC drafted Alex Trebek's replacement a year early while he still had the job, how do you think Alex Trebek would feel? Like, have you ever been in a workplace where something like that happened? No, because it's such a weird thing, right? Like, yeah. If you're not ready to move on and they're trying to push you out, of course you would have friction with the person that's coming in. You know, that's just how life happens. That's how people are built. I just don't understand how people take the humanity out of this to a certain extent.
Yeah, for sure. They're definitely there to go. People signed with the Packers to play with Aaron Rodgers, not to go play for the Green Bay Packers, right? I think that's just the way it is. And people forget that in all this. When we come back here on the Palpably Unfair podcast, we're going to get into some potential trade scenarios, maybe some tampering. I'll get some draft thoughts from Justice and last thoughts on the Aaron Rodgers situation. That's when we come back right after this.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
And we are back here on the Palpably Unfair podcast, episode 34, brought to you by the fine folk at the SB Nation NFL show. Michael Kist here with Justice Mosqueda. We are talking everything Aaron Rodgers. And let's one more point on this that recently came out. Apparently, the Packers are upset that teams like the Denver Broncos and the San Francisco 49ers had in recent history here been tampering with Aaron Rodgers. But as the Packers found out back in 2008, with the Vikings and Brett Favre, it's kind of damn near impossible to prove that tampering did in fact happen, at least to the extent that pleases the NFL and like forces like real action. So the 49ers draft Trey Lance at third overall, which means the Broncos are probably the most likely dance partner in an eventual trade for Aaron Rodgers. What do you think a trade of that magnitude would even look like? Would the Packers even entertain it? Are they going to play hardball like you mentioned? Like, where do you see that going?
I think if we're talking about a MVP caliber quarterback, we're talking about 3 first round picks and players.
Yeah.
I kind of think that's the baseline to even get. Again, if Green Bay is known to play hardball, I think Green Bay is perfectly fine with their situation and how they're built, saying, yep, we let Rodgers retire and we had a quarterback and that was our plan and we saved money and that's kind of how they're built. You know what I mean? So I think if he does get moved, that's how the conversation starts. I will say, you know, as likely as it looks like Denver is like the best spot because, you know, they don't have a quarterback right now. Mm. The best trade piece available for the teams that, you know, now are, you know, involved allegedly in this, I think, is Derek Carr. Because Derek Carr is clearly a starting, you know, NFL caliber quarterback. Like, I'd rather have Derek Carr than like Baker Mayfield. I'd rather have Derek Carr than Kirk Cousins, right? Mm. I think he's the best trade piece that they could get back. And Derek Carr, I think if Derek Carr was on this team, they would still actually be competitive. But the question is, hey, do you actually – all right, then what the hell did we just do for Jordan Love? All we did was we pissed off Aaron Rodgers and we turned Aaron Rodgers into Derek Carr. Great job, Jordan Love. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah. I don't even know if they actually want a quarterback in, you know, or if they want to start Jordan Love, who, again – wasn't active all of last season, including through the playoffs, because Tim Boyle, who they let walk and is now a Detroit Lion, was Aaron Rodgers' backup.
You mentioned that trade value, the 3 first-round picks, and people might go, man, he's 37, so on and so forth. Did Tom Brady, 6 years older, do him a solid by going and winning a Super Bowl and looking pretty damn good while doing it?
Absolutely. I mean, I think if we're not talking about Brady and Breeze right now, I think that's part of it, too. I mean, we're not used to seeing quarterbacks play this long and be competitive for this long. And I think that's kind of what Green Bay's mindset was, where, you know, Rodgers right now, he's 17 years in. That's the same length that Favre was in, right? I don't think we're talking about, you know, a level of decline in the same way. And that's just the difference between, you know, the last, what, it must be 10, 12 years that the NFL has advanced. So quarterbacks can play longer now. And what you're talking about with the first round picks, I understand that completely. But at the end of the day, the quarterback position influences so much that you can become a title contender with an older quarterback. And then it just becomes that same question, right? Where we've seen Pittsburgh do this. We've seen New Orleans do this. We've seen Tampa's now doing this. We saw New England do it. Do you want to extend your title run or not?
Right.
Are you trying to win a ring or not? That's really what it comes down to. And if you're trying to win a ring, then these future picks don't matter, because what you're trying to do is win a ring. And if you lose in the conference championship game, that's no different than if you went 0-16 because you came away with no ring, right? It's a binary. It's, did you get a ring? Did you not get a ring? That's all that matters. And that's kind of the mindset that a lot of these teams are doing right now. And quarterback just influences the game so much that at that point, you can justify 3 first-round picks for MVP caliber play from a quarterback, even if it's only like 2 years, you know? The value checks out.
Do you think that's the right move for the Broncos if they were to give up 3 first-round picks? Do you think that makes them an instant contender?
How much does job security matter, right? how you doing, John Elway? I understand right. You're not the general manager anymore, but hey, man, there's a lot of heat there, you know? So I think that's kind of the mindset, right? Where, yeah, it's the same thing. The Raiders is an interesting one because, I mean, can they buy Gruden out? Does he even have a job security issue with his contract being that long, you know? But if he is, I mean, Gruden, on the timeline that Gruden's on, I mean, Gruden might be able to win a ring with Rodgers and then go through another rebuild and his contract still isn't over, you know? Like, he just signed such a long deal, right? So
it's interesting with the job security aspect that you bring up with Elway. I mean, that's why a guy like Ryan Pace has to go and make a drastic move for Justin Fields, because he has to show ownership something like, I'm trying, man.
Right.
Right. I'm really trying to do something here. And I think Elway might find himself in the same position. So that's a really good point. It's not always about being, you know, a Super Bowl winner. It's about showing them this is what we can build. If we have Aaron Rodgers, man, we actually got a chance at this thing. So just stick with me for a couple more years. Any last thoughts on the Rodgers situation before I get some quick draft thoughts from you? Anything you didn't get to hit that you want to say?
I really just have one last take. And my one last take is, hey, man, why is Green Bay the only team that has to beg Hall of Fame quarterbacks to keep playing for them? Like, don't you guys kind of think that's weird a little bit? Like, no, it's happened twice, and it happened to us both times. Does no one else think this is kind of odd?
That's a fantastic question. So all of that aside, Justice, the 2021 NFL draft happened, and of course it was overshadowed by the Rodgers stuff, but the draft is so recent, and I respect your takes on these prospects with your background and everything. What is your thoughts on the Packers haul?
Perfectly fine. I mean, I think they drafted a corner two in the first round. I think Stokes. they drafted a starting center in Josh Myers. And then they got Amari Rodgers, the wide receiver from Clemson, to kind of be the replacement for Tyler Irvin on those jet sweeps and stuff like that. He's more of like a ball in hand wide receiver, but he can also block. So I think long term, Rodgers is probably a starter. Amari Rodgers, not Aaron Rodgers. He's gone. But Amari Rodgers is probably a starter in for Alan Lazard. And then they keep, you know, Devontae, hopefully, as the kind of possession guy who's eating a ton of stuff. And then MVS is the field stretcher. So I think that's fine. You know what's kind of interesting? They drafted this guy to Darryl Slayton, a defensive tackle out of Florida. And again, I watched the front 7 guys for Bleacher Report, so I knew who this guy was coming in. So he was the guy who played at American Heritage, that high school that had like 7 guys drafted in this past draft class, right? So he was a offensive lineman for that team. He could not break the defensive line rotation at that high school, mind you, at that high school until his senior year. And then he had 5 tackles his senior year. So he went to the U.S. Army All-American Bowl as a guard prospect. He was like the top. He was like a top 3 guard prospect in the country, blue chip type of guy. Everyone thought he was going to like Michigan or something like that. Florida was the only team that would let him play on the defensive line. So he went to Florida, and then he spent 5 years there and didn't become a starter until his redshirt senior year. It's kind of like he's fighting his DNA. Like, this guy might be a guard convert at some point. It might be a really good one, but right now he's a defensive tackle. It's kind of a weird situation.
That was like the coward guy from the Bears who was defensive tackle and ended up switching to guard, like something like that. That's interesting. Justice, man, I appreciate the thoughts. Actually, you know what? Draft grades are stupid. I don't want to do that. But let's assign a letter to the Packers draft. I'm just arbitrarily making this up out of nowhere. Let's go from A to F. A being the best letter to assign to this draft haul for the Packers. F being the worst. What letter would you assign to it?
I give them So I'm a hard grader whenever we did the draft grades and stuff like that. I'm not the person who's given everyone A's and B's. I feel like if you're going to give a letter, you're going to give a damn letter. If C is average, I'll give them C+. I mean, they hit positions. They hit the positions. They got guys who are, you know, roughly talked about in those type of ranges. So I don't think they really batted well above the draft position of these guys, other than maybe Kylan Hill, who I think is an NFL running back. They got him in the 7th round. Better value than they got at a running back last year, I'll tell you that. But I'll give them C+. They hit the positions that they needed to hit. I don't think they made, you know, any massive swings and misses. So,
does any of it matter if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play next year?
No, nothing matters. We're wandering the earth in search of a franchise quarterback if Aaron Rodgers is gone. So,
yeah,
it could be 20 years, man. I said this the other day. The Bears just drafted Justin Fields. He might be their best quarterback in the last 80 years. 80. And that's not even a joke. That's like real life, man. I might be dead before the Packers get another franchise quarterback. Like,
Justin Fields doesn't even have to be that good to hit that bar.
No. He sure doesn't. You know how good they think Justin Fields is? They immediately cut their left tackle for cap space. They immediately were like, our jobs are good. Our jobs are fine. And this is Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, who bumbled this before, you know?
Yeah. Have done nothing, honestly. Have had no playoff success whatsoever. Justice, man, thank you so much for joining us here on the SB Nation NFL show. Let the gentle listeners know again where they can find you on social media. Anything you want to plug, man, fire away.
Yeah, just find me on Twitter at JUMOSQ. That's pretty much it for right now. If I'm doing anything, you can find it on there. Thanks, man.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.